You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. 0% financing for 84 months right now on the 2017 Chevrolet Silverado, plus up to 10 grand in price reductions. This may be the best deal on Silverados ever. Check it out, Lakewood Chev. People are freaking out. Matt Stafford is now the highest paid player in the NFL until someone else gets a contract, but he's also never won a playoff game. And he's getting paid that much. A gentleman who's covered the NFL for a long time, now at the Bleacher Report, Mike Tenier, joins us. Mike, I think most of us would agree Matthew Stafford's a very good quarterback. No debating that. And maybe he just, his contract came up at the right time. But the fact he's never even won one single playoff game, I wonder why the Lions management is willing to just, you know, give him that much when he's never had any playoff success.
Well, let's remember when Matthew Stafford got drafted and why he was available to the Detroit Lions, because they went 0-16 one year. And then we look at the decade to 20 years before that in in the Detroit Lions history, and they were not a winning team or even close to a winning team, and they're hanging around 4 or 5 wins for many, many years. So Matthew Stafford has come in and taken a very bad organization and turned it into one that is regularly around 10 wins, 11 wins, getting to playoff games, getting to the fourth quarter of the playoff game successfully, and being a team that's very competitive. Now, the onus is on the Detroit Lions organization to build around a Matthew Stafford, but for them, after the history they've had, to say, you know, we're going to try our luck moving on from Matthew Stafford and go back into that quagmire would be a crazy, foolish decision. And, you know, one other thing on this, you know, people are talking about Stafford's win-loss record and his playoff record. You look at the season the Detroit Lions had last year. I think Matthew Stafford was playing at an MVP level for most of last year. I think he led like 7 or 8 comebacks, at least 6 comebacks last year to get them to the playoffs in the first place. They're one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. He's a guy who's dragging them into respectability. You don't blame him for not making not winning playoff games. You are shocked at how good he is, that he's able to get them there.
We're getting close to cutdown day here. And, you know, there's a couple rumors of veterans being on the trade market. I want to touch on two guys, the Jets, Matt Forte, and then over at the Browns, Joe Hayden. You see, do these two guys having a market for him?
I think Matt Forte has a good chance of getting cut. If you look at where the Jets are right now, they have been slashing salary since the start of the offseason. They're slashing it wherever they can. We saw Bilal Powell, the longtime backup there, or I guess complimentary back there, have this big game when nobody else was playing well against the Giants. Then they had the young man, Ardarius Stewart. He's a great scat back, third down back, you know, coming out of Alabama, and he had a good game at the end when all heck was breaking loose, but he showed how athletic he is. That's someplace they can save money, lose a veteran there, give a veteran a chance to sign on with some other team and move on. I'm not sure with Joe Hayden. There's trade value for Joe Hayden out there. There are teams who need a cornerback. I'm thinking right now the Oakland Raiders are desperate to get a cornerback in there who can play pretty well, even if Hayden is not what he once was. I think the Browns are going to look for that pick in exchange for Hayden, and I think they might continue to look into the regular season for that. I think it'd be crazy for them to lose him now, and after 3 or 4 games, some team that has an injured cornerback would say, hey, man, we give a 3rd or 4th round pick for that guy. The Browns would want that, and they can absorb salary because they're a very frugal organization in great cap shape. They can hold on to a guy to see if they can get trade value later.
What's your thoughts on the running back situation in KC? How do you see it unfolding?
I'm hearing a lot of great things about Akeem Hunt. The thing about Akeem Hunt is, you know, I watched a lot of his tape at Toledo. I know how many yards he ran for it all. He looked like a pretty good but not a great back to me. Guy did a lot of things well, but it was not spectacular at anything. Then he turns around during the Senior Bowl, kind of showed the same thing. You know, it sounds like a left-handed compliment to say, you know, he's a solid all-purpose back, but he's just that. He's not this featured guy. But that's where we're at right now. They're talking about having him in the featured role. The guys who are fantasy guys are making these fantasy football assertions about him. I think it's going to be him and Sharkhandrick West, and they might have to rotate some other guys in there. And I think it was a pretty big blow for them to lose Spencer Ware. It's a very tricky, very complicated running game there. There's a lot of looking for cutback lanes and making decisions these running backs have to do with all the misdirection they do out in Kansas City. Hunt might not be ready to really excel at that. I think he could be okay. I think he can play a role. I think they're going to have to rotate, and they're going to have to kind of see if they can find solutions there in Kansas City.
Well, it's almost solutions at the quarterback. You know, Houston Texans have been looking for a quarterback for a while. Do they have one there in Savage to get the ball to Hopkins and Fuller on the wideouts?
And I think what they've got is your bare bones, kind of bare minimum type of quarterback. Savage went out there for a half when what could have been an opportunity to demonstrate what he was what he was capable of, and it was a very listless half out there that he put together. I think he did show that, you know, he's ahead of Deshaun Watson right now. Watson made some great plays. You'll see Watson just force passes right now. He doesn't really have a good grasp of this offense. They're going to go out there with Savage. They're going to hope that it's going to be a situation where that defense is crushing people and those receivers can make plays on screens and short passes that can turn those into long passes to make the quarterback look better. But they don't have a real good long-term solution in Savage. The other thing people have to realize with Savage is he's gotten the starting job twice and gotten hurt twice. He's a guy who, by default, might be out of the lineup by week three, week four, and we'll be looking at Deshaun Watson anyway.
Mike Tenier joins us from the Bleacher Report. Is there a team outside of Tennessee? Everybody seems to be pretty high in Tennessee. Are you high in Tennessee, Mike, or is there another team that you feel is going to make a big improvement this year in the NFL, and why?
I love Tennessee, and I was a little worried about what I saw from them in the preseason, this most recent game, where they kind of look very lackluster out there while the Bears were flying around. You know, they're not a team like the Packers or the Patriots, where if you go out there and you're a little flat in the preseason dress rehearsal, it's like, okay, whatever, no one cares. Their team still has something to prove. I think they're still going to be strong. People forget they won 9 games last year. They aren't a sudden leap out of nowhere type of team. They're a very capable team. I'm having a hard time seeing a giant riser. Like every year there's some team that goes from 5-11 to 11-5, and I have a hard time finding it. I look maybe at San Diego being that kind of team, but even they're more of a 500 team. What you see a lot in the NFL right now are these teams towards the bottom, the teams you thought were going to rise, taking these two-year Moneyball rebuilding plans. Teams like the Bills taking that Moneyball style rebuilding plan. The Browns, obviously. Now you see the Colts kind of grinding their gears a little bit. You see a lot of that. It makes it hard to find that worst for first team that we all love to see. I don't know if we're going to see one of those teams this year.
I remember when Michael Trapke got drafted, and you know, and I thought he'd have be a good receiver. He's been pretty good. You know, is he still a good option there, or is he kind of slowed down a bit and maybe fallen behind a couple other guys on their depth chart?
I'm sorry, which quarterback were you asking about?
Michael Crabtree, already now with the Raiders.
Oh, well, with the Raiders, you know, I saw him make a big play earlier in the preseason, so he's been out there. I think he's going to be fine. You know, one of the problems with Crabtree is he is a little bit of a pass dropper. He's going to drop the passes right at him, and then he's going to make the difficult throws. I think more balls are going to go to Amari Cooper. I know they've got Cordarrelle Patterson there. You're right, they do have some young guys there. I think when the games matter, you're going to see Crabtree. I think you're going to see him a lot on third downs and a lot in a red zone because, you know, he gets open. And some of these veteran receivers, they do have that habit of trying to make a play before they get the ball in their hands. I think Crabtree is one of those guys. Quarterbacks want the guy who will get open. They want the window to throw to. They'll forgive a drop or two. And I think that's how it's going to go out there in Oakland.
What about the Patriots and Edelman? Like, I know everybody says, hey, it's the Patriots. Nothing ever phases them. They always seem to find just the new guy that comes in. It's a plug and play in that organization. Are they ever slowing down, or is Brady just going to play until he's 43 and then retire and they'll have to get a new quarterback and start from scratch?
Maybe 43 is the magic number, or it's 44 or 42. Until he gets that weird back or neck injury that, you know, guys get in their 40s, and that happens because that's the way the body works. Until some sign like that comes, until lightning strikes him and he hurts his back, they're not going to slow down. And, yeah, you know, the Edelman injury, I think it does have an impact. But when you have a team that sober and rational people are picking for 16-0, and you say this is going to take them down to 15-1 or 14-2, that tells you all you need to know there. And as you said, oh, the next guy or the new guy will come up. It's not even the new guy there. They've had Amendola in there in that role for a couple of years. He will take over. They went out and they got Brandon Cooks to give them more diversity and explosiveness on offense. He can play some of that role. They went out and got Burkhead. They got like 7 different running backs who can play the slot, who they can put out there and get the mismatches. So, yeah, talk to me when we are past the point when Brady is still being Tom Brady, and then I'll worry about the New England Patriots. Right now, not only are they still rolling despite the injury to Edelman, but the rest of their division is almost tanking on purpose and looking to the future, which is just going to make it easier for the New England Patriots.
Is the NFC East the most interesting and the strongest division in the NFL?
It may be the strongest, and it may be the most interesting, but I'm going to put the AFC West out there probably not as strong overall. But when you look at the combination of teams out there, we saw Oakland. I think a lot of us were picking Oakland at the beginning of the preseason. Then you look at their secondary. They can't cover the pass at all. You look at the Broncos. They wound up with a quarterback by default situation where they're going to go out there with Trevor Siemian again, but they got a great defense. The Chiefs look balanced up and down, and the Chiefs are always going to give you that great special teams and that great pass rush and the good offensive line and all other stuff Andy Reid does. They just lost Spencer Ware. They always seem like a team that's at 10 and 11 wins, not 12 wins. And the Chargers look very strong last week in the preseason, so you can't overlook them. They've got great veterans. Now they've got that Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram 1-2 punch on the pass rush. So I think that's really fascinating because I can't handicap that in any way. East is very strong, the NFC East. I still think the Cowboys are the number one team in the team to beat there, even with Ezekiel Elliott kind of in limbo right now. But you're right, top to bottom, very strong teams, teams with a lot of strengths. I think Washington could wind up in fourth place in that division and still be a pretty good team, which speaks to the up-and-down talent in the NFC East.
Now, you don't see any breakout teams, Mike. What about players? Running backs, receivers, who you think are going to have big years that didn't have one last year?
Big years for the rookie running backs. I think we saw Dalvin Cook looking very well, good in Minnesota. Offensive line holds up for him. He's going to be a heck of a player. Okay. Christian McCaffrey is going to wind up, you know, rushing for 600 yards and catching, you know, 80 passes for 800 yards or something like that. And it's going to be this amazing 1-2 punch kind of season. I think Joe Mixon is poised to have a really good year in Cincinnati. So you see a lot of good running backs there. I'm looking across the receivers. I think you're going to see guys like Keenan Allen, who you may have overlooked. He's one of the big guys for the L.A. Chargers, who's always injured. He looks really great this preseason. That's a guy who's kind of could be a sleeper. Come back with Phillip Rivers and want to catch 115, 120 passes, most of it underneath for a team that, like I said, could be a little more surprising, a team that we always overlook that could go out there and have a good offense this year.
Mike, always great to catch up with you. Look forward to kickoff next Thursday. Should be fun. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you throughout the year.
Can't wait for some real football. Take care and enjoy your week.
You betcha. Mike Tenier from the Bleacher Report.